chapter 12. We won't stay there very long, but we're going there for a minute. Just to put it all in context again. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment, more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? Now, we've started to study the word better. It can mean more of value. It can be genetically different from. That's probably the two main meanings. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and see what we can get a handle on. Because it's an important word.
That genetically different from is a big leap. Then more value.
More value to God. That's what it means. Yeah. Both of them are genetic. The one that's genetically different from everything is what's of value to God, which is his son, Jesus Christ. And his son in you.
That's better.
Huh?
That's better.
All right, 1 Corinthians 15. We're starting verse 35. But some will say, how are the dead raised, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, or thou madman, that which thou sowest is not made alive except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may be chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, or bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. And again, I'll get it in a minute. There's one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory from the stars. For one star differeth from another. It means what they were speaking of. He grouped all of the. The lights in the sky as stars, and that's why this word is different. One star is different because the five, what they call the wandering stars, which were the five visible planets, those are, he's saying, though the stars are different from the planets. And in one sense, he's saying they're better than. And what's better than what? Well, the planets are better than the stars because in just about every language, the five visible planets are the vowel points in the language. A, E, I, O, U. The five vowels, they're originated with the five planets because they wandered throughout the stars and throughout the signs of the zodiac. And depending on which vowel was in which sign, it created a different meaning. But you'd think from the natural standpoint that the stars would be of more value than something that just reflects light. The planets only reflect light. But The reason that they're better than the stars is because of they are the vowel points for all languages. You know, that's why Hebrew especially. Hebrew was always written without vowel points and without spaces and without punctuation. And so when you read it, it just looked like a bunch, of hand scratching. And that's why it was hidden from the Gentiles. And it was only the Jews when they studied in, but they had to make sure they were all Jews. When they studied, then they put the vowel points in. Now, can you see? I mean, they're really tricky. They invented the word Jehovah so the Christians wouldn't know the word for God was Yahweh. And they do all. I mean, they're always trying to keep things hidden. That's one of the reasons they got in so much trouble with God. What? You're doing it. You're musing.
Well, this is a lot to take in. I never thought, or I've never heard of vowel points being the planets.
You weren't in Bananas, or you weren't in on Wednesday night.
Yeah. I've heard of the days being the planets.
The what?
The days, the week. Like
no.
Saturday or whatever.
Yeah, but that's not, that's just named after. That's another. That's their name. In the English, they're named after the various gods of the countries.
I can't put that together, actually.
Why?
Well, how is Neptune a vowel point?
Everything about language was invented. Except, I think, for Hebrew. I think Hebrew was the first language. And so, when they were running around and they were learning, well, I tell you what, the guy thought something. He said, okay, this grunt, and this is going to mean this, and this little scribble is going to mean that, the same thing. And then they came. Well, then they had to have something so that words different from another without. There's another reason there's 22. That's another story, but. So the whole, in the development of language, it became apparent that they, if they had different vowel points, then they wouldn't need as many words. Does that communicate? Okay. Well, that's fundamentally why they learned this from watching the planets, the visible planets. Said that consistently, but maybe not. All right. So anyway, that's why the verse 41. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another in glory, and differeth there mean is the word.
Respect there?
Huh?
Respect the glory in this context.
I don't know what you mean.
The word glory.
Oh, it just means a word that means to shine.
To it's admire. Not,
huh?
To admire. To
no, it just means to shine. I can't remember the word right now. But probably is doxa, which is a lot of times translated as glory. All right, but the point of it is that's why I'm saying from God's standpoint. What you think is better than another thing may not be, is probably wrong. What our mind thinks one thing is better than something else, the odds are very big that we're wrong. Amen? You understand? I mean, we can spend some time on that, but you understand that, right?
I understand that. Yeah, I've been wrong a lot lately.
Well, all right. Well, then let's just go, since we're there, let's go on. In verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It's talking about our resurrection, Christ's resurrection first, and then his resurrection in us. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it was written. It is written. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So anyway, he's talking. That's another word we're talking about. In Luke, the same word, diaphero, it means both different from, and it means better, or it means of more value. And it depends on the context. Okay? Let's go to Galatians 4, the next chapter. Next book.
So, in understanding vis-a-vis the context, you got to put a vowel point somewhere, right? Which gives you.
I don't know what you're talking about. Meaning with Hebrew language?
We're talking, Hebrew language.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of letters put together.
So now you're in the English language in the same.
Well, that's no thing. The vowel points are always. They invented English. Vowel points were invented before English was invented.
Okay. But we use English to communicate and mean things to one another.
Right. Because English is the language of commerce. And the Northern European, where the English language started, that was their mindset. They wanted a language for commerce.
Okay.
See, ownership.
Right. But the vowel point in and of itself is the point where it's placed, I would say, in any language, just in thinking this way.
Well, but my point is those words were already, when the word was invented, the vowel points were part of the word, except in Hebrew. So there's, it probably was a development process to get the whole thing. But, when you look at word origins, sometimes English words may have origins probably from Sanskrit, from Latin, and from German. So the words developed over time, especially for the English language, a language of ownership or commerce, because they were the great traders of the world. And so they developed parts of words and from other languages. That's why English is so difficult to learn if it's not your native language.
Okay, well, I've always interpreted this vowel point as where the emphasis or whatever the vowel point serves is where Christ is revealed.
Not in life. That has nothing to do with English, and it really doesn't. I don't know how you. I didn't know how to think about that one. I don't think that's right. It's the word themselves, but this was a tradition passed down from generation to generation in the Hebrews, from Abraham on. But they were keeping the vowel points so that the words couldn't be seen or understood. It was just a bunch of markings, no space, no spaces between the letters, no punctuation marks.
But essentially, we have the same problem in English, where two people reading the same thing come up with totally different understandings. And I've always kind of attributed to the concept of a vowel point as to where you see. And
I see. I know what you're saying, but I don't think that's true.
Okay.
Part of the second curse, if you will, the Tower of Babel being from that point on till today, nobody understands anybody. There's no, you know that if you're married, especially. You know nobody understands you, and I know it from 40 years because I've been saying the same thing, and sometimes
you don't understand me.
Yeah, right.
And sometimes I don't understand you.
But the point of it is that you have to look. The only way you can understand, from my perspective, the only way you can understand the Bible is through the eyes of the cross. The predicate of the Bible is that you are dead and Christ has resurrected in you. Whether you're studying the Old Testament, the Psalms, it's all about seeing that you're dead. Otherwise, you'll read the Bible and say, oh man, there's great promises here for me. I want to be rich. And but that's just craziness. As I've said often, it's comic book theology. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ from Genesis to the end. All right? Did we go to Galatians? We didn't. We're in Galatians.
We're in Galatians.
Let's talk. Well, let's. In order to understand this one, we have to start in verse. Let's start in verse 322. Well, we can't start there. We have to start in 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? What's the purpose of the law? Nobody can do it. It was added because of transgression, till the seed, the sperma, should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Now, that mediation at the hand of the angels took place while Abraham was asleep. And God cut the covenant as a mediator, agreeing that if you didn't meet those, if you didn't meet the standards in that law, that one of you would die. Well, God already knew that he wasn't going to make this thing, but he had to have the potential to make it so that the economy and the bad justice, if you will, of God had to always be there. And so, when the Jews screwed up, and then the world screwed up, because the Jews were the representatives of the world in God's eyes, then what happened? God had to die. But when he died, when Jesus Christ died, he took all men died. That's why he said, what we just read, is he was the last Adam. So what are you? Well, you're an invention of your own mind, and you're with the help of the Antichrist. He's invented you. There's only Adam and Christ now. I mean, there's only Christ and the bride now. I should say that another way. I'll get it. There's only the bride and the whore left. That's all. There's no nations. There's no, not even any sex. There's no male or female, bond or free, young or old, black or white, Greek or Jew, American or Russian. There's no more people. Now, that's a hard one to comprehend. But if you could see that, then you'd stop giving breath to all the crap that the little ants are doing. Like the rest, you know. Anyway, so we're in Galatians 4. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, or before faith comes, is what it also says, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should be afterward be revealed. Wherefore, and this is where we're studying this word diaphrio, which, as we've talked about it, what it means. Wherefore, the law was and is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith alone. But after faith has come, we are no more under a schoolmaster. For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We had to say all that to say this. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant. He might as well be a servant, is what it's saying. Because he differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until a time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were spiritual children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. That's the name of every single person that's still living by cause and effect, or reward and punishment, or trying to get something from God. You're just we're in bondage under these elements. They are elements of the world, the principles of the world. Now watch. But the point is, it's the differeth is the one we're studying in verse 1. But listen, but when the fullness of the time was come, or is come in you, God sent forth his Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now remember, the word adoption in Greek is huiothesios, and it means the placing of the fullness of the Son. Now, in Romans, it talks a lot about how we've been adopted. We have all kinds of meaning what that word it means. But this way, it's the fullness of the placing of the Son, the placing of the fullness of the Son in you. And he is your life. He's not somebody you worship up there and look. He is your only self. But his mind is always humility, emptiness, servant of all. But the point of this, the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant. It's not just talking about that in Christ when he was a child. It's talking about you and I. We still might think we can accept Jesus, or we were born Christians, or whatever people believe. That's fine. I mean, you can do all the little walking the aisles and stuff. But that doesn't mean anything until you realize that Jesus Christ is alive and well in you, and you are his vessel. And once that certainty happens, that's when you're born again. Because that's when you know that you're born from above. You know that your real life is now no longer this guy you invented, or girl, or woman, or being, or child, or anything. Is there anybody that doesn't believe you invented yourself? That's pretty heavy. Well, all of us did.
Yeah. Not doing it now.
That's to be seen. All right. One more. Philippians. Two books to the right. Start in verse 3, chapter 1. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you.
You said 3:1.
Philippians 1:3. Okay. Did I say 3:1?
You said 3:1.
That's because I'm an idiot.
Go to the corner.
That's, did you know that?
I got
first
that
time I met him, I didn't know who he was. I put him in a corner.
What does that mean? Does that mean anything?
It does. He's a bad kid. So I had, if I had a dunce cap, I'd have given him.
About my environment. No.
All right. No, the only reason I did it is because I knew he'd enjoy it. There's a little masochist in all of us, huh? All right, verse 3, chapter 1. I thank my God upon every
read. Chapter 3. Okay, we got it. We know where we're at, so just keep reading. I'm enjoying this too much.
May we continue? I thank my God upon every remembrance of you except peace. No, it doesn't say that. I'm just kidding.
Let's not get lame.
What?
Let's not get lame.
Always in every prayer of mine for you and making all requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me or necessary for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent. And that's where the approve is, that you'll stop giving importance to things that aren't have value. That's what he's saying. That you will approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now that word approved there is this diaphreo, which means different from, of more value, or here it means what? That you may, in your mind and in your body and your soul, know the difference between things that are of value and things that are not. Things that are of spirit and things that are of flesh. Things that are of spirit and things that are of soul. I mean, that's his prayer for these folks, even though he's already saying they had advanced in their understanding and knowledge of Jesus Christ. All right? So this word better is kind of important. It's translated in all these different ways. All right, that's enough. Anybody have any response or questions?
I have a lot of lingering thought about the vowel points in our time here. Comes down that the cross is the vowel point. It's not a lot of vowel points. That's how I'm thinking. The cross is the dividing line, and if you read with that understanding, you do divide soul from spirit. You do see Christ, not the flesh. The Antichrist is apparent. I mean, that is the...
Right. No, I fully agree. That's why I've said forever that you have to search the scriptures with the eyes of the cross,
right.
And that's one way of looking at it. It's the only vowel point.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's an exclamation point too,
and for many, still a question mark. So, Mr. Frank, we have a custom at your anyone who is their first Bible study. Do you have any response or reaction?
No, I'm just confused about the vowel point. It being the stars.
Well,
you know,
that's
I understand
not,
it, you know.
That's not important. That was just something that I had to go back and even try to figure out how languages form and where they came from.
And I know it.
Because I was trying to prove everything in here was wrong.
Bible being translated so many times. It does.
Yeah, but that's why we go back in both the Old Testament, New, we go back to the language it was written in. And that's why we spent 12 years, I did, translating every word. But the consistency of one thing, the common denominator, once you've gone through all the translation, is everything in that Bible only reveals Jesus Christ. But it's not just he reveals him out there, it reveals him in you. Okay?
It's like all the translations of the Bible, which are many, they're still using five vowel points.
That's a good point. They're still writing, translating the Bible so the human mind can understand it.
Yeah.
And they take the power out of it. It's like the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then, what is it, next word?
On earth.
But it's not. In the original, it's in earth.
In earth.
In you. May heaven reside in you. Because if not, you look around and you've got to say, God, your subconscious mind looks around and says, there's no peace, there's no nothing. You know, yet we sing the songs, every peace on earth, goodwill to men. Well, I'll tell you later, because we're really taking a big guy.